Alan.
6.
Are you ready to play ball?
Play ball! You know I'm ready to play ball, baby.
Do you want to play hardball? Do you want to play softball? Do you want to play volleyball?
No. No.
Do you want to play Lethal League?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's do a 1-3 in Lethal League. Folks, if you're not familiar with Lethal League is a... It's technically a fighting game, but it kind of doesn't feel like one because it's so, like, arcadey and, like, not complicated. You're just two people, and there's a baseball, and you're just hitting the baseball around and hit the baseball, but don't get hit by the baseball. And that's the game.
I figure it's baseball season. Now's as good a time as any for us to get into baseball.
Fucking Angels, let's go. God damn.
Oh, God. So
I like the Angels.
Also, hi, it's the Garnet Wager. We never say what the name of the show is. I know why we don't, but I still feel like people need to know what they're listening to.
Oh, yeah, no, the first episode, it was like an intentional thing, where I was like, oh, let's try a cold... I'm going to be edgy and do a cold open, and now I'm just kind of an idiot. So.
Yes, this is the Garnet Wager. That's me, Alan. It's 6. And we're going to... Let's do baseball.
All right. Let's fire this thing up.
I'm playing as alligator person, and 6 is playing as the bad guy from Standalone Complex. I literally just made this joke minutes ago, and I forgot it.
Yeah, so in case you actually know the game, I am Candyman. Alan is Switch.
Latch.
Latch, yes.
Switch.
You're a Switch, but you are also Latch.
Get ready. Here we go! Hi-yah! I love the jumping. You gotta be. I'm always the person who jumps in fighting games. I play Ryu.
Damn it. That was sloppy. I mean, that was very sloppy.
This game's fun. Whoa! Spaghetti!
Nice. Oh no, you ate it!
Oh, oh shit! That's so fucking good! That's super good! I'm a latch main. It's me, I'm the latch main. Ba, ba, gotta get it, gotta get it! Boom, 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 boom! I hate it! That's one of those things where you can make the ball bounce really fast, and then it's just a nightmare. But it's also the best part of this game. Because, like, the coolest... Oh, I should have just stayed hitting left. The coolest way to play it, for me, is to let the opponent build up all the momentum and then just use their momentum against them.
That's a super bad way to play.
I know. Hey, what's
I
up?
I love your
Tai Chi. Chomps!
Jesus.
That was sick. Oh, boy. Every time Latch gets off a super, it's just a nightmare. I was holding up!
Okay. Why would that matter?
You aimed it down. I should have been able to get it. Bam. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. I hit the... What did the man do?
You were probably facing the wrong way. Hitboxes are a thing. Oh, well, that was just sloppy. That was just sloppy.
It's okay. My other podcast co-host, Magellan, recently, he like messed some small thing up. You just don't hit my dead character. Super rude. Ultra rude.
Don't let me.
He like messed some small thing up, and I was like, that's okay. And he was like, every time you say that's okay in that tone, I know it's not okay. Like, I know you're trying to make me feel good. Did I just eat you?
You did.
Delicious. Fuck, 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 fuck.
Dunked on.
You gotta start with the punch.
I charged it.
You gotta start with the punch.
Damn it, I accidentally charged it.
It's okay. That's my new trash talk. Stop. Please stop. 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 You have to stop. Yes! There's the money shot,
look
baby!
Out.
Well, there was nothing I could do about that. 6 wins game 1 of the World Series.
Hell yeah.
I unlocked Black and White Candyman.
Congratulations.
Alright, on to the next.
I do really like Chompy Chomp, but I need the double jump in my life, in my bones.
Oh, so you are switching to Sonata.
Sonata.
Maybe I'll play Moonlight Sonata under this.
Fly me to the... Wait, wrong song.
Yes, entirely wrong song. That's Sinatra.
Moonlight Sinatra.
Oh, Jesus, don't do this. Beethoven didn't deserve this.
Beethoven. No! I had a whole plan!
It seems to have been bad.
There it is! There it is, baby!
Oh, nice.
Smashing square, or smashing the, like, strike button really fast feels good. It's not helping, obviously. It feels awesome. Like, when you're charging a shot, I mean. What?! What?! That was so... Ugh, sixth place fighting games, you guys. Did you know? No, please,
oh,
no!
Oh, that's a fast one.
Oh,
I mistimed
yes.
it.
Yes.
Oh, nicely done.
This game is so good. Fuck, I fucked that up. Sloppy play.
Ooh, nice. That was a reject.
I see. Yep.
Good work.
Thank you. Oh, God. There it is. I hit...
Oh, Jesus. All right. Nice, you're gaining on me. What? It made the sound like you had died, but you hadn't. GGPO, I guess.
Fuck.
You can't do that. That will happen every time.
Yeah, that will happen. GGPO, is it actually GGPO?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Cool.
Bad play.
Whoa, clink. Got a clinky right there. Oh, God! This is a nightmare! Oh, no. Fuck. Fuck! The thing that tricked me there, that's best of three, that means you win, right?
It is.
What tricked me there is your character goes, damn it, and I thought that meant you were out, and I was like waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, that was a GGPO rollback. That's what happened.
That's unfortunate.
Yep. So, in case folks are not games people, GGPO stands for Good Game Peace Out, which is basically a type of netcode where the game is constantly like running a simulation about what like might happen and comparing it. And basically, the long and short of it is it makes the games very accurate, the netcode's very stable, but sometimes it means it has to, like, that you get the wrong result for, like, a split second before it corrects itself. So, like, there, on your system, for a second there, I died, and then it was like, oh, wait, that's wrong.
You didn't actually die. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do you reconcile with that? Do you just have to pay attention to what you're looking at, not what you're hearing or something?
Yep, pretty much.
Interesting. Well... It is final season, so what I could use is definitely more homework.
Well, Alan?
Yes.
I have homework for you.
I love it. What is it?
I would like you to go to your grocery store.
Okay.
I would like you to purchase a box, because I don't think you can just buy an individual bag, of Irish breakfast tea. I would like you to brew it for 5 minutes. I would like you to add a dash of milk and a spoonful of brown sugar. And then get back to me and let me know how it was.
Oh, this is good. Hold on. This is like fun.
It seems like a good time to me. Irish breakfast is very important to me. I got to love Irish breakfast when I spent 2 weeks in Dublin, Ireland on vacation as a kid. And my dad always wanted us, like, he always is the sort of person who wants to make the most of vacation, and I am not. And so we always had to get up earlier than I wanted to. And the only thing that helped me get through those days was that the Irish hotel was very well stocked with Irish breakfast. So every morning, I would have a cup of Irish breakfast, and that would start my day. And ever since, I've been a fan.
Aww. Is it just like a very caffeinated tea?
It's a very strong tea. It is the strongest black tea that's regularly, I'm sure there's like some like, you know, like fucking like genetically engineered ultra black, but like of normal black teas, it is the strongest. Huh. It is coffee-esque.
Oh man. I will go tomorrow. I have a day off tomorrow. I'll make a day of it.
And just like maybe drink it while watching an episode of The Genius.
That sounds so fun and good. I'm going to do that. I'm totally going to do that.
All right, Alan. I hope you enjoy your homework.
Me too. Thanks for the game. GG.
Take it away, Bandage Man.
I'm gargling toothpaste right now.
The Garnet Wager is a game where two players compete in challenges while watching episodes of The Genius. Challenges occur once per podcast, and the winner receives a quantity of garnets, depending on the challenge, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. If they liked it, the winner receives an additional garnet. Garnets may also be wagered in various bets according to the whims of the players. Garnets are not obtained automatically. When you successfully win a garnet, you have 5 minutes to claim that garnet or becomes available for your opponent to claim. The first person to say Jin-Ho after 5 minutes have elapsed receives the garnet, so long as they inform their opponent of the acquisition at the end of the episode. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Alan Ibrahim.
6. The Big Sticks. Detmar.
6 from the Sticks. That's right. I'm from the place where they make pretzel sticks. California.
Cauliflower-nia.
That's what we're known for, is our pretzel stick. You ever had, like, the pretzel rods?
What? Like the long pretzels?
No, they're like pretzel sticks, but they're like... like, honestly, like, honest to God, like an inch thick of just solid hard pretzel. And you're like, wait, why am I eating these?
These are not good. Bad.
No, they're not good.
You just get pretzels or get, like, the sticks. Yeah, you're right.
Sometimes you're so concerned with whether you can, you don't question whether you should.
It's like in high school, I used to get those buffalo chicken flavored pretzel bites.
Mm-hmm.
And they were disgusting, but I liked them anyways because I was just I was in high school. You can't blame me. We're here to discuss The Genius,
mm-hmm. which is a lot like a buffalo flavored pretzel bite.
Mm-hmm. In that
you
it's
never
sweet,
know
delicious.
How hot it's gonna be.
There you go. Which episodes did we watch this week, friend?
We watched episode 9 of season 1, which is the Expression Auction. And beforehand, both of us decided that it was referring to facial expressions, and we were wrong.
Expression, like, of value, of numbers, in fact, is what it was.
Indeed, indeed. Mm. The genius likes math. I guess that's what makes you a genius.
I would hope so.
Math. If you don't know math, you're stupid.
What?
I didn't say it, the genius said it.
Speaking of math, this episode starts with music from Tron Legacy.
Does it? Okay.
It does the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
Tron Legacy came out in 2010. Oh, God.
Alan, I just checked my watch and you're old.
It says here, it's just both hands are pointing to you're fucking old.
It's a smartwatch. It just, yeah.
You sent me a note that said you really liked this pre-game intro stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good content this week. So we start off with Sungyu and Yunji coming in, and immediately they're back on the, like, these two just can't get along.
Right.
And it is entirely Sungyu's fault. But, you know, he continues and he starts switching to, like, an extremely formal, you know, form for Yunji, referring to her in the most formal possible way. And she cracks up a little bit at that. And then he's like, but listen, we've still got some loose ends to tie up. You gotta pay me for helping you out with the DM last time.
Right.
Right? And he's pushing for 10 garnets, which is a big ask. And he's pushing really hard. I think this is like the most aggressive negotiation. Can we even call it negotiation?
I get that, it's super aggressive. It feels like a strong arm almost.
Mm-hmm. In the end, he manages to get 8. Like, at first he gets 6, and then a few more things happen, and he's like, oh, come on. And he manages to get 2 more. But, like, he's really pushing pretty hard. And in the middle of all this, Songmin comes in.
My man!
Songmin just wants to let you know that this week, like, last week, you know, we had some comments on him maybe not being as extra as he could be.
Right.
And, he came back with a fucking vengeance, because he comes in this, like, massive, like, black fur coat, like a huge, like, I fashion terms, what would you even call that thing?
I mean, it's just extra.
Yeah.
It's just so extra. It's all feathery. It looks like he is, like, playing Birdman or something.
Yeah, and he comes in and immediately, like Yunji and Sungyu are like, that coat, are you okay? It's summer out there. That thing looks so hot. And he's like, you know, I just gotta come in and look my best. And he starts, like, they reference that it makes him sort of look like he used to back in the day when he was performing as an artist. And he drops some hot lyrics on us and starts busting moves. And it's like, oh yeah, that's my boy.
And then they do the really cool editing thing where they like play one of his songs and then they, or he's singing his song and then they edit the rest of it into the background during the rest of the scene. You're like, nice. I really appreciate good editing in the show.
It was pretty sick. And
this is like everyone is coming in. What's the funniest thing about that is that he takes the jacket off and then he's still wearing a shirt that has feathers on it.
he knows how to look. He knows how to appear. And I love it.
Right.
So I wonder, one of the big questions was how many garnets Songmin was going to get for his help. And I wonder if the answer would have been lower if he hadn't busted out some sick moves that ended up getting him 6 garnets.
Right. He makes a bunch of plans. And then, I think there's a bunch of really quick parts here, like Sungyu, getting the garnets with the promise that he won't betray her if they're on the same team, which, like, he still will. Let's be honest. We know how he works. And then I think that is where the cold open ends.
We also, I think the last bit was Jinho coming in and being like, oh, we're giving out garnets. I gave Yurim 5 garnets for that DM. Can I have some from you? And she's like, what? Fuck off. No.
Did you just try to claim your Jinho with that?
I don't think we're 5 minutes in yet, are we?
Yeah, we are. We're 6 minutes in.
Oh. Okay, well, that was an unintentional, but okay. I guess we spread out our garnets then.
I was sweating the whole time. I had a good curve lined up, but that's fine. I was going to mention the watermelon thing, but that's fine.
Oh, man, you were going to get me. You were actually going to get me for
once. I totally
could
have gone. It's fine. As long as I don't lose anything, that's what I wanted.
I'm just too thorough in discussing the subject matter of an episode. So that's going to be 32 garnets for me and 26 for you based on the results of the challenge.
I'll take it. Okay, great.
You can relax now. Oh, it's okay.
Jinho's nickname is Watermelon, which I guess is short for math professor.
Yeah, it's just one of those like Korean language things where I guess like it's like water is the beginning of math, and then melon is the beginning of professor in Korean, is what it seemed like they were implying. Fun with Korean. Let's talk about the rules of our main match, the Expression Auction.
It's pretty hot stuff. Sorry, I was trying to say Expression Auction in sync with you, but then I realized that the sync of the podcast will never make that work.
But I can also sync things manually.
Oh, yeah, true. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Expression auction.
Good luck.
Expression auction.
Things never go the way Songmin says, is the thing that Yoonbi says here. I think this is before the rules.
No, this is all after the rules, okay. But it's fine. The rules of expression auction are, in this game, number and sign tiles will be up for auction. Your goal is to create an expression, a mathematical equation, that equals 10, and you will win. All players get blocks of 1 through 10. These are their possible bids. You have 5 seconds to place a bid, and this repeats, so you place a bid, and the next person has 5 seconds to bid out, overbid you, and so on. All bids used during bidding are discarded. If bids tie, the tile being bid on is instantly discarded. If no one bids, within 5 seconds, the tile is discarded. All tiles bought must be used in your expression. Players who cannot make an expression automatically lose. If all players lose, the player with a value furthest from 10 is the real loser. If multiple players get 10, they are joint winners. If none do, the player closest to 10 wins. If 2 statements are equally close to 10, the higher statement will win. There will be 10-minute breaks for strategy in between 3 sets of bidding. And finally, the winner will receive garnets equal to the value of their statement, up to a maximum of 20.
This is the garnet wager. Begin.
Sorry, I always promise myself not to talk during the rules, and then I get scared when I'm supposed to talk again. Oh, shit, I gotta use words again? Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Oh, ooh. Oh.
It is I, the watermelon.
It's season 2. We're gonna come up with more words that you can't say, and if you say, you lose garnets. We're gonna make it like a real verbal minefield.
Just what I need. Just exactly what I need.
Oh, if you say friend, do you lose 5 garnets? Alan is done.
I'm done. If I say kiss, Alan is done.
That you'd definitely be done for that one, because I will never say that word. It is irrelevant to my you know, modus operandi.
Yeah. So basically, what I liked about Expression Auction, I like the math games. Did you finish explaining the rules?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I like the math games. I like that now there's only 5 people that they can all. You just be in the same room and just, like, stand on these podiums and, like, well, this is the game we're playing, or sit in benches, whatever, and we're just playing this game, and it begins and ends right here. There's no, like, deliberation phase. They get, like, what is it, 10-minute breaks or something?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get a lot of that in the actual episode. That's just some cutaways briefly to their planning.
Is achieved in those breaks.
You what?
And very little is achieved during those breaks.
Exactly. They're, like, trying to set up alliances and you know, I love how early on Songmin, after buying the wrong chip, or buying the wrong tile, I guess, realizes that he can no longer win. And he's like, well, it's time to... now I'm on Team Sungyu. Like, let's fucking go.
It's a mindset that I am very sympathetic with in a lot of these, like, free-for-all style games. I have the moment where I've decided I can't win, and sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not, but it's like I have this moment where, like, oh, okay, I can't win. Who do I want to be useful to?
Yeah,
like,
who's
attack dog do I want to be?
Who can I king make, basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he chooses Sungyu, which doesn't go well for him.
No, it goes real terribly, in fact.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, like, with a character as mindless as Sungyu twice in this main match, not in the main match, twice in this game. No, it is both during the main match. Twice he forgets his garnet pouch and Songmin picks it up and has a moment where he's like,
God.
I could like pull a Jinho, and he's just like, fuck it, Sungyu, take your garnets, please.
Collect them. There's 5 of us. If anybody steals these, you'll know who it is. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
How are you still making that mistake this much? I mean, I would. Again, I would. Like, leave my bag somewhere.
I mean, like, literally episode 2, Songmin is like, hey, you should really just tie it to your waistband. Now we're 9 episodes in and Sungyu still isn't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just been long enough that he's starting to get lax again.
Yeah, he figures, I have my garnets, I'm good. Like, you come to this house in the universe of the show, you come to this house once a week for an hour, and then you go home and live your life. Why would you
ever
remember?
A lot longer than an hour.
Well, yeah.
It's probably a whole day.
Yeah. But even then, it's one day a week, and then you're gone, and you're like, I forget how this works again. What are the rules again? Who's winning?
Yeah.
That's why they constantly have to be reminded, like, the Garnet counts, and that's good for the viewer also, but it's, like, funny to think that the players don't remember things.
So, Alan, have you ever thought about having a drinking game for the genius?
Oh, man. My thing with drinking games is I always struggle with what the thing should be. I don't know what to call that, but like the caveat or whatever, the thing that makes you drink. Because it's either what happens way too often and like, yeah, the joke is you're going to get drunk fast, but it's not fun. Or it happens so rarely that you forget. What are you leaning towards?
Well, I think you have to have a lot of different triggers that don't come up very often, but when they do, it's like this fun moment.
Yeah, okay.
And one of them that I might suggest is every time Jinho says, this week I'm not going to gonna trust anyone, you take a shot, because he does it again. Another week where he's like, last week I trusted somebody and they screwed me, but this week I don't trust anybody.
No allies, 5 minutes later. Yeah, can we be allies?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You always do.
Too relatable. Too relatable. Yeah.
So Songmin comes up with a joint winner strategy, and then it sort of falls apart because Jinho's like, but the game ends as soon as somebody gets a 10. And Songmin's like, oh wait, it does? And he's like, oh shit, then we can't do joint winners. They still could have, though.
How so?
They just need to not get 10. Like, if you don't if no one gets 10. Right, so like, I mean, if you really wanted to get a lot of fucking garnets out of the system, have everybody get equations. I mean, I'm sure the numbers aren't there, but like, have everybody get equations that equal like 20 or something. Get like, really milk that garnet count, and then just, you know, shut people down and walk away. You know, it's like that one of the previous main matches where they were like, let's get as many garnets as we can from the hosts. And then they ended up not doing that. But this was another opportunity to get a whole lot of money. Ruined by people's ambition.
I realize the garnet count discrepancy, like the huge, for example, like the huge difference between the first place Sungyu and then second place being Yunji, I guess, formerly, is it's significant. And like by the final round, that's going to actually matter. Right now, it's just like, oh, you won this game. That's great. As long as you don't get eliminated. Like that's what Songmin talks about is, if I'm not going to win, I just don't want to end up in the DM, which is great for now. But if you keep just barely squeezing by, then you end up like Jinho, who's, I think, in last place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not like by the end of the game, you're going to be like, well, I didn't win. And it's going to be like this sad way to lose.
Well, I mean, so Jinho's not in last place anymore, I think, because he just won a DM.
That's correct. That's correct. Yes.
And also, like, I mean, what does Jinho like if Jinho is so confident in his DM skills? Like, I know, this is a problem that comes up, and I've talked about, you know, genius orgs, right? The Discord groups where they play, and also forum and stuff. This is a problem that comes up there where you have players who are like, I don't care that much about the main match because no one can take me in a DM. I'll take them fucking apart. And I'm not saying Jinho's all the way there, but it does kind of seem like that if you take Jinho to the deathmatch, you're kind of done.
You're gonna lose.
Yeah.
He has the number skills. He has that talent specifically. Like, he just plays very safe during... I mean, that's Kyungran. Kyungran has the ultimate good strategy, which is, like, play safe during the main match, do fine, don't lose, and then don't end up in the DM. Don't cause any problems, don't make any enemies. And, I mean, it's going to take her to victory, I think, but...
Well, but I mean, like, the last... Like, I assume the way this show ends is there are two people left.
Yeah.
Like... At that point, you can't make a deal.
True, you can't have an alliance.
I mean, like, I guess theoretically you could have, like, a rigged game where you were like, hey, listen, take a dive for me and I'll give you half the pool. But, like, why would they do that if they think they can beat you because you've gotten this far purely on social skill?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. I still feel pretty good about Kyungran going pretty far. I mean, that's been accurate so far. But, like... When it gets down to, like, final three or something, like, is Kyungran gonna suddenly show us that... I mean, she's never been to a DM. Maybe she's really scary at DMs. We don't know. but like at some point she's going to need to be if she wants to win.
You're saying she needs to like make alliances? Or what do you mean?
No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying
or
like
she needs to like just have if, to if, racking up garnets.
I'm saying like so far what we've seen from her is that she's very good at the social game yep. and very good at staying out of people's crosshairs.
Correct.
But being really good at running for political office doesn't do anything when you've got no constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope she also has some game skill to back that up.
I think she does. We'll have to see that next week because she just does fine this episode and then doesn't end up in the DM.
Yeah.
But she needs an episode soon. For the sake of the show, also, to just remind us that Kyungran is good and can hold her own in actual games.
Mm-hmm.
Rack up those guns. Yeah.
I don't know. Right now, I feel like Sung-yu is the one that's the most likely to go home soon after this episode.
Yeah.
Just because he's...
Well, he's fucked over everyone.
He's fucked over everyone, and he's just, like, he's building so much heat, right? He's running so hot, and that engine can't run that hot forever. You know?
No, he cannot.
He's going to slip. He's playing with fire. Mixing so many metaphors right now. Too many cooks in the kitchen make a spicy meatball. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder, Sung-yu...
Yeah, I think Sung-yu has caused so many problems. And, like, having all those garnets, he is the highest value target right now. Because Jinho is the person you only interact with when you go to the DM, and that means you are being sent to the gallows. He is the king of the DM. That has become his role. He's the strategist. He plays the main game fine, but he plays the best DM game anyone plays. Sung-yu is like all over all over the main match and is like prime material for people to start working against him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good prediction. It honestly takes a lot of will from the both of us to just not look up anything about the show, because we are making predictions about a 5-year-old program, which is awesome. Like, I've definitely been tempted to just Google like who wins the Genius Season 1, and I haven't done it yet. So it keeps things really fun for us, I think, and hopefully for the people who've watched the show.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not like I feel like I'm not actually tempted because it's just sort of like I don't like. I'm really enjoying the time thinking about this stuff. Like, I don't know what I would gain by learning, you know? If I learn it in the course of watching the show, that's great. But, like, what do I get out of just finding out who wins, you know?
You can beat me.
I'm beating you anyway.
Well, then I have something to gain by looking it up. So you're saying I should look it up.
I'm saying I could see why someone in your position might.
Wow, foreshadowing for when I look it up.
Yeah, there we go. So there are a few social interactions I wanna get out of before we talk into how the actual main match goes. First off, we have some Kyungran and Sung-yu both have some confessionals this week talking about what they think of other players, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sung-yu has a moment where he talks about what animal other players are. He talks about Kyungran because she's like a fierce lioness and she does all the hunting and she's always on the prowl, right?
Right.
And he talks about Songmin and how Songmin's like a toothless tiger, which, you know, he's in the final five. He's gotten by this far, but
yeah,
a little harsh, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's part of his advantage, right? Is that people see Songmin as kind of like this, like, careless Joker character, and it's like, well, I mean, he doesn't really end up in DMs. He tends to get by just fine. Maybe you're underestimating him because he seems like a joke to you.
It's interesting. I haven't like come up with a good read on that relationship. I think
Kyungran also has a few thoughts on people. She has three basic assessments. She thinks that Jinho's got a very good strategic mind, but he's always missing that like 2% to complete his plan.
Correct.
She says that Songmin is 50-50. He's only ever really right or really
very
wrong. Which is, yeah.
It's true.
It is. And then Sungyu seems clueless, but there's a crafty mind behind the scenes there.
Oh, Kyungwon, so. We figured that out weeks ago.
We had our debate initially. We were not sure at first.
Because it was like him and Chongyap, and we're like, who's the handsome boy that is actually dumb, and who's the actually handsome boy that is playing dumb?
Oh, man. Listen. Oh, wait. Sorry, I was mixing up with Jun Seok. No, you're right. Chongyap's an idiot.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yay, agreement. I miss Jun Seok. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll get to see him again in the finale. Maybe all the contestants will come in for some... I don't know. We'll see something. I don't know. Stuff will happen, I'm sure.
They do like a Nick Fury... Whatever, we'll talk about it at the end of the DM. There's like a Nick Fury Avengers moment in the preview.
Oh. Yeah.
What is the next big thing we got here?
Well, the only... the last social interaction before we get into the main match itself... is Sangmin is just sort of standing around grinning, and he's like, why does this game seem so easy to me? And Yunji says, because you go to a lot of bankruptcy auctions.
Whoa.
Which is
it dropped like brutal. Like no one comments on it, but it's such a fire line.
it's savage. It's really brutal. I kind of wish Minseo was still here to be like, hey, auctions aren't that bad. The auctioneer defending the probably she doesn't do bankruptcy auctions, I'm gonna guess.
I would hope.
Who knows? So, beginning of the main match. There's a whole lot of stuff. I didn't take too many notes. I mostly was just sort of letting this wash over me because there's so many, like, battles over various stages of the auction. But, like, I don't know. What were your impressions from the main match itself?
Well, from what I was taking notes on, it seems like everybody kept having plans that worked really well until the one moment when they didn't. And then having to frantically scramble to recover because, like, if you get low-value numbers early on, you can get multiplication of mid-level numbers and hit you can get a final value very close to 10 and get an expression working. Some of them would just buy every card they could and then find themselves, like, very low on garnets and not making a good expression. And then finally, some of them were like, I'm just going to buy all the low-value numbers. Like, that's basically Sungyu's plan, and then I will, at the very end, buy the last expression and just make a perfect 10 or something. Or get us, like, get, or like an 11, I think, is what he ended up getting.
He got a 10, exactly.
He got a 10, yeah. And it works out, but it's so, it almost felt like a lot of it was, like, luck-based, because they would be doing really well, and then be like, oh, somebody else bought the piece that I wanted. Which is
yeah,
just,
it was
like,
really, yeah.
The competition of it is really good. My favorite mechanic of this game is the counter. The whole, like, if you bid, like, say, 3 garnets or something on the 5 tile, and then the person right after you just also bets exactly 3 garnets, then the bet ends and nobody gets it.
To be clear on a rules thing, there's only one point of the game where they're betting garnets. Mostly they're just betting with their blocks.
Betting blocks, sorry. The final round is when they bet garnets.
There's a special auction where they bet garnets. The rest is just the blocks. Yeah.
But if someone bets the same amount as you, then it's just basically a shutdown button. And it gets used 2 or 3 times in ways that are like, oh, that's like how Songman gets knocked out. Or not, I don't think he gets knocked out from one of those. He just puts too much money on a bad card and then... he can't make a good expression anymore.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people had smart strategies, but there's just a few too many. It was really entertaining to watch, but it feels like it would have been really frustrating to play because there's just too many different, like, plans and intentions clashing to really feel like you have a strong plan. Like, starting out, I felt like Songmin was doing the best because he was really picking his battles really smartly, right? He wasn't, like, investing a ton in things that didn't seem worth his time. And, like, Jinho also seemed like he was being really smart because he would, like, when people were in a bidding war, he'd throw in, like, one little bet just to see what they'd do and then be like, oh, okay, and then back off.
Right.
And sort of drive the prices up. But, like, Yunji and Sungyu were the ones that were just sort of, like, stubbornly, like, not backing down from any bets. And they did really well in this main match. So...
yeah, it's, I don't know. They point this out, but Yunji, like, is really good at strategy and knows how to play main games really well, especially when they are math-based and calculation-based. Like, she plays a really mean long game. The problem is when, she relies too heavily on alliances, which is ultimately what leads to her downfall, and she can't, like, so often she doesn't see the forest for the trees, or sees the forest for the trees. I never know how that expression goes. And, yeah, like, and
No, go ahead.
She'll be like, this plan will work, this is foolproof, and then one thing goes wrong, and it's like, shit, back out, and then not being able to recover very well. I feel like you can make RPG stats for genius players and like fill those out based on like recovery, teamwork skills, poker face,
constitution, dexterity, armor class,
mana.
That coat, Songman's got a good armor class.
Oh yes. Oh. Zero chance to hit. I played D&D once.
How was it?
You have to have a good DM, friend. It's you got it.
Yeah.
Best scene in the episode. It's actually one of the interstitial break scenes where all the boys are sitting at a table, just like talking about strategies, and then Kyungron walks in, and they're like, "You have to go." And she's like, "What? I don't want to leave. Do I have to leave?" And they're like, "Yeah." And then she starts leaving. They're like, "Guys, that was me. No. Come back." Like this. Really?
And then she comes back and they just don't fucking talk about anything. They've just got nothing to say. They're like, we wanted you to come back, but we realized actually we were talking about nothing. And she's just got this like, these fucking idiots look on her face.
She's trying to be a normal person and she's like, oh, if you guys are having a conversation, I'll leave, but I kind of wanted to hang out.
Everyone's just so used to people like not being willing to leave that they told her to leave almost out of reflex without realizing they had nothing to say.
There was nothing going on. There was no plan. Because you get that comedy before the aforementioned the special auction, which is another really fun addition. Which is like they put it's an 11 tile. Is that correct?
Yeah. It is. It is a cube worth 11, so you can basically instantly win any auction. But you can't bid with cubes. You have to bid with garnets.
Right.
And this is when like Yunji and Sungyu start just going at it. Just a nice big bidding war. It's nice and tense with, you know, cause they're, every time they raise a garnet, they are giving up, you know, like 100,000. No, I'm doing math bad, but they're giving up, you know, thousands
of
dollars. Yeah. They're giving up a bunch of money.
With the hope, and you can see this on Sungyu's face when he's making all these bets, is like the hope is that you will earn it back by winning. But he burns through 7 garnets for this tile.
He does.
Unbelievable, man. Oh, my God.
I'm going to say now?
Yeah?
Completely worth it.
Yeah? I mean, he won.
Yeah, which means he got 10 more garnets.
Right, that's a net gain, yeah. But he didn't know he was going to win. That was the worry.
Well, you know, you gotta place the bet. I mean, like, the 11 cube had pretty good odds. Like, he was in a situation where it's like, unless someone wins before we get to this certain point, I have won. He's sort of like, by buying the 11 block, it's like, okay, if we can make it to like number 17 without someone else winning, I win. For sure.
Right. And the guarantee of like, if I get close, then I win. And then the problem and what messes Yunji up, part of the reason she doesn't win, she makes her expression very early and then just doesn't need to play anymore. Because I don't know what she got. I think she got like a 12 or something. She was like kind of close.
Yeah, she does. She doesn't do terribly.
She's like, well, all right, I made my expression. I don't need to bet on anything. I don't need to fight anyone. Like, I can just basically bow out of the game. And then there's somebody, you know, Kyungyu, Sungyu hits a 10. And it's like, well, my whole strategy sucks. There's no second place in this game.
Yeah, I think she was betting on like the teams like sabotaging each other so much that nobody got a proper 10. But it's like you're underestimating these people, frankly.
And there's more and more counter bids too. Like I think Sungyu has, I think he gets both counter bids. And in the second
he shuts people down.
The second one he does it, he makes this like trolley face, like "Ha, I nailed it." I love when he's having fun. He's just so devilish.
He's very pleased with himself. There's a great moment where, like, so there's another break, and Jin-ho is talking to Sungyu, and he's like, okay, listen, Kyungran's going to go for the win right here. I'll shut her down. You give me the token of life, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
and they're having a little bidding war. They get to that point, and indeed, Kyungran goes for it. And they're having a little bidding war. And then, like, it's you know, it gets pretty high, and, like, Jinho's acting all pain. He's like, shit. And the countdown happens, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And then he, like, fakes a hand raise and leans on his hand. And it's like, okay, Kyungran just won. But Sung Yu sniffs it out, and his hand shoots up, and he shuts it down.
Mm.
It's like, oh. Which is one of those moments where it's like, oh, okay, actually, that's, Sung Yu's mindfulness is way more than I expected right there.
It's actually a very good play.
Mm-hmm. Because also the other thing is he realizes, like, wait, I don't need, like, mathematically, I don't need to rely on Jinho to win this.
Correct.
So why would I trust him?
Kyungran is the one who makes an alliance, like a mini alliance with Jinho, in a, like, if you help me, I'll give you immunity and also not bet against you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't need, Tung Yu does not need to do that.
No. No, especially because he's already had his help bought from Sung Yu, or from Songmin. Songmin was like, hey, he does the classic thing that Songmin does, which is specifically to Sung Yu, pulling him aside and being like, hey, listen, can you help me out? Here's some garnets. Go buy yourself something nice.
Go buy yourself.
Go get yourself some earrings. You look real pretty. Totally works. Sung Yu wins the main match I wrote it down wrong in my notes for some reason. Because Songmin shuts down a few people for him, and then Sung Yu gets his shot, and he takes his 10 with that 11 cube. He's secured victory.
And this part's kind of fun when he's picking the elimination candidates and stuff.
It's weird.
So he has two immunities to give.
He has an immunity for himself, but first he has to pick the loser, and he picks Jinho, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets his token of life, his spare one, and he's like, so I just give this to the person I want to give it to, right? I can just hand it to them, and that can be the sign. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, oh, Kyungran, you've never been to a DM, have you?
She's like, you monster.
I'm giving it to Songmin. And it's like, this is the side of Sung Yu that I think is going to get him killed.
Yes, 100%.
It's like...
It's arrogant.
Yeah, there was no reason to do that. Kyungran is not so, like, short-tempered that she can't get over that, but also she doesn't necessarily have a reason to get over that. You have antagonized her for literally no reason, other than you thought it was kind of funny. It's not good strategic play. Yeah.
Oh, boy. I think she whispers an I hate you under her breath at some point, maybe earlier in the episode, but...
If the next episode is the revenge of Kyungran, where it's like, you know, we get to the end of the episode and it's like, oh gosh, Sung Yu won this main match. And it's like, wait, no, he didn't. And it's like the montage of all the ways Kyungran set him up and he's going down. That would be pretty great.
This was the point where, yeah, I was frustrated that Sung Yu, I like have my, in my notes here, like Sung Yu seems like he's doing a lot of dick moves. Like this is not going to, this can't keep going well for him. Like he's acting like a child. And I mean, it doesn't happen in this episode because he just gets immunity and then he's out of the running, but it's coming back. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But Yoon-ji and Jinho are going to the DM.
Yep.
Which is exciting. But first, I think we got to discuss some homework.
Oh my goodness! What was your homework, Alan?
Well, I gotta do the music first. The homework.
What is that? Is that just sounds like a news from the front?
Yeah,
song, right.
What it
like
is.
I know I've made this joke before, but it is literally just like World War II. We just got an update from the front lines, right? That's what you're doing.
We just got an update from the front lines. I like tea. This week, for homework. Sorry, we're very silly here on the Garnet Wager. This week,
I'm always serious.
It's a very serious show. Six had me drink as part of my homework a delicious cup of Irish breakfast tea with milk and sugar.
Now, there are a lot of types of Irish breakfast out there. What brand of Irish breakfast tea did you end up settling on?
Fuck. Pippins? Poopins?
Twinnings.
Twinnings.
God damn it, Alan.
Peepums? I was like, it's blankings. It's blankings. Stinkings. Twinnings. Hoopums. Twinnings, Irish breakfast tea. This was really nice because I, we recorded that challenge on a Wednesday, and Thursdays are my day off from stuff. So I just had the whole day off. I like went to the gym. I got up nice and early, and then I went to the supermarket, and I kind of like supermarkets. I think supermarkets mm-hmm. are fun. I don't know why. There's just something about like, well, I do know why. It's because I was really heavily influenced by that one David Foster Wallace speech, where he talks about how you're supposed to love the experience of being like annoyed at a supermarket because it's part of the human adult experience, et cetera, et cetera.
Huh.
This is the name of the speech. It's very good.
I've never heard that speech, and I like shopping at the supermarket because I like cooking things.
Absolutely. I will link it to you after this. Not even as part of homework. I think you should just listen to it. It's super good. But yeah, I was there, and then I like got the tea, and I was like, anything else I should get while I'm here? And you were like, you should get some shortbread if they have this specific brand of shortbread. And then they did, and I felt like a freaking treasure hunter. I took it all home, and then that afternoon, as soon as I got home, because I knew if I drank it in the evening, I would be awake all night. I brewed it. I made some hot water, and then you said brew for 5 minutes, which seems just about right for most teas, I think. Most bag teas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did a little bit of milk. I went a little overboard on the milk that first time, which was fine. I don't think it ruined the flavor. It just made it a little bit milkier, like tasting.
Yeah, you can totally do it. It's not like super dangerous or anything.
Yeah, it doesn't ruin the tea. And then the sugar is just like, I want to get the flavor out of this tea even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it, and I did some homework, and it was wonderful.
Oh, it was, I'm glad to hear that.
It was so, it was like yummy and like warming and pleasant. Because I've been drinking more tea lately. But I never really drank that much tea in the past. I've always been a coffee person. And it paired really well with just like a light snack and some, I was getting some work done. It was like a productive evening.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have my, special mug. I'm looking at it right now. It is a mug from Disneyland. It is a mug of, Tigger, you may know, from the Winnie the Pooh series. And it is, I believe, a 25-ounce mug.
Oh.
And so I put two bags of Irish breakfast in that, and I load it up, and I do long edits. And if I'm doing them at night, then I finish the edit, and I have to stay up for another hour, because I cannot possibly sleep after 25 ounces of Irish breakfast
tea. Two bags?
Uh-huh. Well, for that much water, you know?
Right.
It's a huge, it's like 2.5 mugs.
Right.
But yeah, no, Irish breakfast is fuel for my productivity.
It's so yummy. It's yummy. That was like the response I had, because most like sugary drink. I haven't drank soda since I was 18 years old. On my 18th birthday, I said I'm not going to drink any more soda. And the only time I've drank it since then is like I've drank like a ginger ale to help my stomach, or I will drink soda as part of alcoholic beverages.
True.
But I haven't like had a full can of soda other than that since then. So I've gotten very used to like the way juice tastes and the way that different sweet juices taste, but tea is like so subtle, like in comparison, that you need to actually appreciate the flavor, and like you're making the flavor obviously because you're turning water into sweet delicious energy juice. And then in terms of the caffeine content, because you were mentioning Irish breakfast is like the strongest black coffee that exists.
Tea, yes.
Tea? Sorry, black tea, sorry. It's the strongest black tea that they make. And I was like, oh, that's rack. I was like very, not jittery, but I was like a nice energetic after drinking a whole cup of it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to coffee where I get very anxious after. Like an afternoon coffee. My morning coffee like allows me to subsist and be a nice person, but my afternoon coffee is like, I'm going to kill someone. I need to get this essay done. You really should not have two cups of coffee in a day. But what I mean is like, I've now been trying, as a result of this little experiment, to drink Irish breakfast in the morning instead of coffee.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm glad you took to it so well.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a much more even... it's an even caffeine high than coffee, because coffee you crash like into the ground, through the ground, explosion, nuclear missile, I want to die, let the world end. That's like what a caffeine crash is for me usually. But with this tea, it's like, oh, I've now reset to normal. I'm not like dead. So far, it's been like that. Maybe after several days of it, I'll like get used to it and something will change. But right now, I'm like, oh, this is a nice substitute. So we'll see how long that lasts.
Well, excellent. So on a rating of 0 to 5 garnets, where would you rate this?
Oh, like a 1.
Okay.
maybe 1 garnet for you.
Okay, that's fair.
No, I'm just kidding. You get 4.
Hey, 4. I'll take it. That sounds great. I will claim those garnets, because there won't be a next segment, really. You know, we're just sort of going to keep going.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about the DM.
Let's talk about the DM. Alan, what was the DM?
We return to everybody's favorite DM game. It's Indian Poker with a twist. The twist being this time that we have a council. It's Indian Poker with a council of elders, played by the rest of the cast. So it's Yunji and Jinho in the Indian Poker game, and everybody else. It's not only a panel of experts. It's blind. It's a blind panel, which is brilliant, because you imagine how easy it would be for Yunji to be like, "All right, Kengron, don't lie to me. Tell me what to pick," and then she just picks, and then that's how the game works. But because it's blind, they have to make up these really cool patterns of like, if the other two guys pick fold, I pick raise, then that's me. I'm the outlier. Just raise. If it's like, you know, raise, fold, then I'm the other person, and all this different, like, they go through all the different combinations of, like, how to determine which one is Kyungran.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to watch. My problem with this as a viewing experience was it barely feels like they're playing Indian Poker. They're just playing, like, the read the panel game.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I basically agreed. I was glad for a twist on the formula. I think if they're going to keep bringing stuff back, and I enjoyed the thing that made this enjoyable was, actually that somebody made a mistake, and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
But if it had gone according to plan, it would have been kind of a boring DM.
Right. It would have just been another Indian Poker game. Mm-hmm. Also, you should have absolutely won.
You think so?
I think so. That was why it made me sad.
Jinho is counting cards as well.
True.
Jinho is the original master of Indian Poker.
She had good plays. Like, if they just played a real, like, honest to goodness, or read the other person's expression, Indian Poker, I honestly think she would have won. But
I'm less sure. But
She fell for the trick. She relied so much on her teammate and on this promise that, like, here's a foolproof strategy. You know, the mistake that's so... It's a very human mistake, you know? Like, when someone tells you, oh, do this thing and you will XYZ. And it's like, why wouldn't you? Why would you ever risk chance when you can get a guarantee? And it just collapses. I mean, coincidentally, it collapses like a house of cards.
It's funny that you should say foolproof, because I think the problem is it wasn't foolproof enough.
Yeah.
I think the problem is there was too much room for... There was unnecessary room for foolship.
Well, yeah, that's the idea. It feels she's sold it as a foolproof plan, but it doesn't actually.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out to have a lot of problems, actually. Like,
yeah,
she cannot determine. Basically, she can't determine who is Kyungran, and very quickly goes like, "Oh wait, this whole panel is useless. I'm getting no help out of this. I'm seeing the same pattern over and over again." And then she panics and is like, "Well, this is useless. I'm screwed."
Well, it's actually, I feel like it's more specific than that, because they're, like, when they're talking, when Kyungran and Yunji are talking, they're like, listen, obviously, if they all throw the same sign, if we all throw the same sign, it's like, it's obvious that that's 50-50, but they're not going to do that. They're going to try and confuse us, so they're probably going to send different signals to you. And so, whatever the majority is the correct answer, is what she says at first, right?
Yeah.
And that's true. That works for a couple of plays. But then we get the reveal that that wasn't the full strategy. that Yunji then said, like, but wait, they're going to catch on to that. What if we start alternating? So we're like, correct, correct, incorrect, incorrect, correct, correct. And Kyungran, even in the flashback, looks kind of confused and is like, okay. And this extra layer of complexity destroys them.
Yeah. It bummed me out. I was like, aw, no, we're just going to lose. Like, we're just going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like it's a nice... I appreciate there being a moment in the show that's kind of like a warning against making a plan that's unnecessarily elaborate. I think that's valuable.
Right. It's like a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think there was any need for them to alternate there. I think they could have just done their thing and it would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly. They were trying to account for every, like, way too many variables.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that. This is where I was like, oh yeah, when the bad Moby song kicks in, that's how you know things are going to get spicy. Because it seems like it's going fine, and then you hear like, dun 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 dun, and you're like, no, someone's going to die.
Oh no, Moby's going to stand in line for this. We're done.
Oh, babe. Da, 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 da. And then she just combusts and loses, and it's like a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. It's, It is a shame that she had to go out that way.
With Yunji out, we get her exit scene. Probably the most graceful exit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, since maybe, like, Exposition Cha, he was pretty graceful.
Yeah, but... well, that was, like, people crying for him and him being like, guys, don't cry, I'm just a person, bye, nice to see, play with all of you, you were all great, love you, bye. Where she's just, like, very self-aware, and she's like, I don't feel bad, that was fun. And she even says, like, it's interesting how I don't feel anything being eliminated, but I cried when Gura left.
those were the tears of like stress being relieved. Those were the tears of like,
we killed the bad
guy. Yeah, we won. We can all go home.
Right. And this is just like, well, I guess I can go home.
Yep.
So now Kyungran's the last woman on the game, which, you know, is a death and dynamic.
Yeah.
We're down to just four peeps now.
Boy, it only gets scarier from here. That means we've got like three episodes left, huh?
We're getting there.
Jeez.
Kyungran, Songmin, Sungyu, Jinho. Fuck.
They do?
No.
Wow.
No,
is that like a behind the scenes or?
Oh my god, we're gonna record the last episode presumably around May 14th, which is like the last day of my semester. I'm gonna be very emotional that week. Fuck.
Ugh.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Speaking of things, I don't know how to segue points.
Plugs room?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
So I want to talk about the preview. They do a teaser in the middle of the episode where there's like other characters yelling at them. And I thought it said 1 hour later. And I thought I had like jumped to another dimension where I was watching a different season of The Genius. I was like, wait, who are these? This like blonde guy with glasses is like yelling at somebody.
Right?
I'm like, yeah. Who is this? And then during the preview, they're like, oh, next week we are going to lock the last four players in separate rooms, and we're gonna have other people from another Genius game.
No, they're people that those contestants picked, like friends of theirs. It seems.
Oh, that's cool.
Or something. Because, because one of them is Boxer.
Oh fuck.
You didn't notice that?
No.
Yeah, one of them is like, yeah, he's like, I used to be known as like the Ace Terran, and I'm like, oh my god.
He died inside a little bit.
I kind of exploded a little bit.
Just gonna give him tips, and it was just people yelling and being like, let me out of the room and all this stuff.
But like, if you're gonna be friends, like if you're Jinho and you're like, who do I want to have my back? I would not pick Boxer.
My sworn rival.
Or maybe it's a situation where he's like, man, I don't know who I'm going to pick. How about I pick someone I know I can't trust?
Right. I mean, I think that's his, that is the logic. He's like, I didn't trust this guy at the time, so maybe now out of that game, we can be respectful and like we know each other's tricks and I can now trust him. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see that next week.
Yeah.
I actually
do you want to make any
Oh yeah, what's up?
Do you want to make any wagers about next week? Since it seems like such a crazy one.
I do super duper want to make some wagers about next week.
Okay, what do you want to wager?
I want to wager 10 garnets. I started with a value, and now I have to think about what to do with that value.
Do you want me to counter? I have one ready.
Okay.
I bet you 15 garnets Sung Yu goes home.
Oh, fuck. Next week?
Next week.
15?
15.
That's so many. First of all, two things. One, next week's episode is an hour and a half.
Oh, boy.
It's an hour 24, actually, but it's basically an hour and a half. Second of all, do you know what next week's game is?
No.
It's Confined Scamming Horse Race. It's just Scamming Horse Race, but they're in separate rooms.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this show is going to kill me. Yeah, I'll take that bet.
Okay. 15 garnets versus you. That Sung Yu is going home next week. All right. So before that bet is not being calculated into these totals because it has not been resolved. So at the moment, Alan has 97 garnets.
Oof.
And Six has 115 garnets.
Oh,
between the two of us, cool. We would have a very big prize pool for this show.
If it was that conversion rate and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My phone's out of battery, Six.
Well, do you want to plug it into a next topic that I actually have ready for us, which is, what do we want to do in between seasons?
I don't know. I want to just, play... God, are we asking a real question right now?
Yeah, are we going to take a break in between seasons, or what are we going to do? Are we going to come back? When we started this, we weren't sure if we were going to do season two.
I would like to do season two. I think we should take a break.
Okay. Okay, and we'll figure out how long that break is.
Yeah, we'll see if we want to do an interstitial episode that's a one-off where we play something, just play something or just watch something or some weird combination of both.
Or we just have some, where are they now segment was interviewing me at my job and I'm like, yeah, I'll just put loading the boxes ever since the garden shut down. I just, hasn't been the same.
You just become the guy on every episode of Law and Order who loads boxes inexplicably, and then he's like, I didn't see nothing, and then they're like, you're a useless witness.
It gets really loud when the truck's back up here. I gotta put in these earplugs because it's the plug zone. Alan, plug your shit.
I fucking fucking
that was a good one.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it was a bad one, but that's what I mean.
You can find me on two other podcasts. One is Chats a Television Podcast. Right now we're watching The Newsroom. It's a TV podcast, if you couldn't tell, where my friend Majan and I talk about television shows and criticize them, and sometimes we like them and sometimes we don't. We're about to finish The Newsroom, and we're going to be announcing our next show very soon, so stay tuned into that show. If you also want to listen to me on another one, it's called Fireside Friends. That's a monthly show you can find on firesidefriends.net, where my friends Ryan and Katie and I discuss pop culture. We just, as of this recording, put out a new episode where we watched The Warriors, which is not a great movie, but the discussion was awesome. So check those things out. And follow me on Twitter, finally, please, at Alan Ibrahim, AllenIbrahim. Do it! I got good tweets.
Excellent. Excellent. One thing I forgot to mention, it is calculated in that math, I just forgot to say it. We both lost 5 garnets because we bet on winners of the main match and we were both wrong. Wah. You said Kyungra and I said Jinho.
Nuts.
So. But with that established, if you want to find me on social media, head over to that Twitter website. I'm SixDetmar, SixDetmar. And if you want to learn about my podcasts, they're my top pinned post on there. Just look at that.
Six hosts too many podcasts.
I do.
Sounds so defeated, but I know you love it, and you don't want to ever stop hosting too many podcasts.
Okay. How far in this pod? How? Okay. This is 9 episodes into this podcast. This is almost an hour into this recording of this podcast. It'll be more than an hour once we've added the challenge and shit. Let's be real for a second here. Kind of doesn't really matter if I like it or not. It's just kind of one of the few things I have in my life that's rewarding.
That's fair. As long as you're finding something rewarding, that's what matters.
Right? I don't know what I would do if I didn't do podcasts.
Probably get into another
sleep
hobby.
Sleep more. I would sleep more.
My
hobby would be sleeping. I like pillows.
Do you think you would sleep more if you had less podcast edit?
There are days that I have off where I wake up and I've slept for 9 hours, which is pretty good. And I'm like, I could sleep for another 8. I have a podcast to edit. I probably shouldn't.
But you're not in, like, school. You have no reason to sleep more other than, like, your physical health. But
I would say it's more of a mental health thing, but sure.
Do you think sleeping more would help your mental health?
No, I'm saying I'm depressed, Alan. We've been over this.
I know that. But then would sleeping... But again, so would sleeping more help your depression?
Oh, no. It's just hard to resist.
Yeah. Okay, so then there you go. Just live your life. You're an adult.
Let's just live day by day. Nothing conquered but our sorrows. Thank you, everyone. I've quoted a terrible song. Good night.